Welcome to worship this morning at University Mennonite Church. Today we're beginning a series on reclamation and restoration, specifically reclaiming and restoring terms and concepts that may have strayed from their original meaning in Scripture and in the early church. Today Kate will preach on the word Christian, so I'd like to begin our worship today with reflections on what it means to be a Christian by Frederick Buechner in his book, Wishful Thinking, The Seeker's ABC. Some think of a Christian as one who necessarily believes certain things, that Jesus was the Son of God, say, or that Mary was a virgin, or that the Pope is infallible, or that all other religions are wrong. Some think of a Christian as one who necessarily does certain things, such as going to church, getting baptized, giving up liquor and tobacco, reading the Bible, doing a good deed a day. Some think of a Christian as just a nice guy. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me," John 14:6. He didn't say that any particular ethic, doctrine, or religion was the way, the truth, and the life. He said that he was. He didn't say that it was by believing or doing anything in particular that you could come to the Father. He said that it was only by him, by living, participating in, being caught up in the way of life that he embodied, that was his way. Thus it is possible to be on Christ's way and with his mark upon you without ever having heard of Christ, and for that reason to be on your way to God, though maybe you don't even believe in God. A Christian is one who is on the way, though not necessarily very far along it, and who has at least some dim and half-baked idea of whom to thank. Here today, thanking God for being the way. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Read along with me. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Rogers will lead us in some opening hymns.
These first two hymns are in the Blue Book, Hymnal, a worship book, and I'll ask you to turn to number 20 to begin with, and stand if you're able. This Come and See needs a little introduction. The chorus, which is divided into one and two, and I'm going to ask that the left side, as you're facing the front, will sing the number two, and the right side will sing number one. And then when we go to the second verse and we come to that, those splits, just switch it, okay? Please stand.
Thank you. 9:3, I heard the voice of Jesus saying,
we would like to take a chance to welcome visitors, first those who are here for the first time or those who are returning after a long time away. Feel free to introduce yourselves or have someone that you came with introduce you, and the ushers have microphones.
Hi, we're happy to have our son Jason and his wife Carrie here visiting us this weekend.
Welcome.
Surprise visitors with us this morning. We'll be asking for teaching. We'll be in our classroom in life for 12 years and years
ago. It's great to have you here.
My name is Eric Smith. I was a regular attender here until this past summer, and I and my wife are here in the United States from May 7th to June 7th. That is just a few more days, and this is the first chance I've had to actually come to a church service here at University Mennonite Church, and I'm very, very happy to be here again. So thank you.
Welcome back.
I'm happy to have several of family members. My good sister Linda, who's been here a couple of times, is here from California, and two of my two daughters are here, and they're my brother-in-law and my two grandchildren. So we're happy to be here. Son-in-law. All right. You know, I'm old now. I'm 70.
I apologize for my wife. She's 70 years old, and that's why we're here.
I knew what you meant, Fran. Welcome, everyone. So each week we've been lighting the peace lamp since the beginning of the war in Iraq. And this morning, after I light it, please join me in reading the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith.
Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Open my mind, Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to be consoled, to be understood.
For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. I'd like to invite you just to take a moment in light of this prayer to consider a concrete way that you can be an instrument of peace for someone this week by offering pardon, faith, hope, light, or joy. So let's just take a moment of silence. Let's turn now to the confession and assurance of pardon, which is found in number 703 at the back of the blue hymnal. And let's read this in unison. Gracious God, hear our confession. Our faith is uncertain, our forgiveness slow, our conviction weak, our compassion wavering. We have exalted the proud and powerful, put down the weak, saturated the rich with good things, neglected the poor, sent the hungry away empty-handed. We have helped ourselves. Show us your mercy. Help us show mercy. Through your Son, our Savior. Amen. The children are welcome now to come forward with for children's time with Rick.
Feels like you guys are kind of far away back there. Okay. Great to see everyone this morning. So, starting this week, Pastor Kate is going to be preaching some sermons about reclaiming things. So I want us to try to think about maybe what we mean by that. So first of all, what does it mean if we claim something? What is a claim? Lily.
To declare something yours.
Declare something yours, yeah. So anyone ever hear of Christopher Columbus? Yeah, so He sailed away from Spain and he bumped into what he called the New World and he said, I claim this for Spain, right? For the Queen of Spain, even though there were already people here, but he claimed it anyhow, right? So that's one kind of a claim. And about 170 years ago, there was a California gold rush. Anyone ever hear of that? And people would come from the east from places like Pennsylvania and go to California because they thought they could dig and find gold, and they would stake a claim. They'd say, this piece of land is where I get to dig for gold, and no one else can have it. I claim it, right? And sometimes maybe if your parents put out a plate of cookies or donuts or cake or something, and you say, I claim that piece, right? It's going to be mine, right? So those are all kinds of claims, right? Sometimes we can claim not things, but we can claim ideas, right? So we can claim to be a Christian. And so people, we're going to read. You can claim a plant. Yeah. And so people who were living with Jesus when Jesus lived on the earth and they decided to follow him, we're going to hear a scripture passage where those people who claimed to be followers of Jesus were called Christians for the first time. So that's claiming to be an idea. But we're going to be talking about reclaiming, and I forgot to bring something up here, but I'll go get it in a second. So we're going to talk about the word reclaim. So we talked about claim. Now, what is reclaim? Anyone have an idea what reclaim would be? Yeah, if you lost something and then you found it again, that would be reclaiming. So for example, I like to go swimming in the middle of the day when I'm at work because the swimming pool is just a little way away from my office. And sometimes when I'm done swimming, I'm in a hurry to get back to work and I forget to take my bathing suit off of the hook in the shower room. And then I have to go back to the pool after a day or two, and I go to the lost and found. And there's this big box full of swimming suits and goggles and all kinds of stuff, and I dig through it, and I finally find mine, and I reclaim my swimming suit, right? And one time I left my shower soap in there, and a friend who was there, he took it for me. And then the next time he saw me, he gave it to me. So my friend helped me reclaim my shower soap. So that's another way. But we can also reclaim not just things, but we can reclaim ideas, right? Thank you. So we can reclaim ideas. So we're going to hear about the first Christians today. How long ago, how many years ago were the first Christians? How many years ago did Jesus live? 150 years, that's a long time, isn't it? But you know what? It's even longer than that. How many more years than 150 do you think it is? 111? Even more than that. 2,000? Yeah, 2,000, that's a long time, right? Now, if anybody here 5 years old? Anyone? Yeah, okay. So, you're five? So, how many five-year-olds, if we added them all up, how many five-year-olds do we have to get to 2,000?
Two thousand?
400. So we need 400 of you to get to 2,000, right? That's a lot. Can you imagine 400 of you? Okay, so that's a lot. And so 400 people ago, people first said, we're Christians. We are going to be followers of Jesus. And did you ever play the game where you whisper one thing to another person, and the idea changes? What you said over here, it goes around, and it's different by the time it gets to the end. So over 2,000 years, the idea of what it was to be a Christian, maybe it changed a little bit. And so another way of reclaiming is trying to figure out, how did things change, and what would it be to go back to what the very first people who said they were Christians, what they thought it meant. So those are the kinds of things that Pastor Kate is going to be preaching about, reclaiming what it means to be a Christian. And to help us think about that, we're going to think about reclaiming things that are kind of used up or not quite as good as they used to be, right? So Becky and I think Vonda have an idea for you guys to collect things that we might otherwise throw away or they're used up. So they would like you guys to collect plastic bags, right? These things are just all over the place, right? And we can't really use the plastic very well anymore. And plastic bottle caps, like these, you guys can collect those. And, you know, it's pretty hard to use these again. At least use them as plastic bottle caps. But we can take the plastic and use them and reclaim them to make something new. Okay? So, Becky and Vonda have a project in mind. If you guys collect these things, plastic bottle caps and plastic bags, in a couple of weeks, in a few weeks, they're going to have a project for you to do with these to make something useful out of them, to reclaim them, okay? So that's what you guys need to do, is collect bottle caps and plastic bags. Can you do that and bring them back in a few weeks? And then we'll have a project to reclaim them and make something useful out of them again, something that we can actually use again, all right? So don't forget to collect them, and we'll find out how, you'll find out how you can make something useful out of these again, okay? How we can reclaim them. So let's have a short prayer, and then we'll go back. Dear Jesus, thank you for this, the word that you give, and thank you that we can be Christians, and help us to understand what that means and to reclaim that for our lives. In your name, amen.
The first reading today is from the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. The second reading is from the 11th chapter of Acts. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them, there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians.
Good morning, friends. Let's begin by receiving the gift of the Spirit, taking in a full breath, perhaps noticing the gift that this breath and this time together is. And pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, I've been helping out with Interfaith Power and Light project of reclaiming the woods in nearby Walnut Springs Park, just a mile away from here. It's a beautiful little park, and by the name, I'm guessing that once upon a time it was full of walnut trees, a native species to this area. But today, if they renamed it, it might be called Privet Park. You see, it's covered in privet, this highly invasive non-native plant that outcompetes native plants, making it really difficult for the dogwoods and the red buds and the black walnuts to establish themselves. And so Greg Williams, who is this local enthusiast, he regularly gathers a group of volunteers to reclaim and to restore that place. And so I've been joining them. Last fall, we spent weekend after weekend pulling out privet, cutting down privet, doing whatever we could. It looked pretty barren and ugly, but we got rid of it. And then this spring, just a few weeks ago, Greg and the volunteers replanted over a dozen species of native trees and shrubs. If you go down there right now, you'll see hundreds of those green fiberglass tubes sticking up out of weedy-looking soil. You have to use your imagination to see what it might look like in 5 or 10 or 20 years. That it might be flourishing again with native species. But the work hasn't finished. The privet that we pulled out last fall, it's coming back. It's really tough stuff, and it will need to be weeded out over and over, kind of like the poison ivy that I've been removing from around the foundation of the house I just bought. Reclamation is hard work. It requires patience. It requires a vision for the future and lots of pulling on roots and replanting what truly gives life and what belongs. So it was when I was out there in Walnut Springs one day, tugging away, that I recognized how intentional we need to do about both what we plant physically and metaphorically, and how we reclaim and restore these things that matter to us. There are several words that I've struggled with over the years as I've matured in my faith, and instead of abandoning them, I decided I want to try and reclaim some of them. So as Rick said, as Esther said, this summer is about reclaiming some of these words. And I want you to take notice of the quilt of the table here. The visuals committee this summer is also working on what does it mean to reclaim. When we reclaim little scraps of fabric, something beautiful can be made, something useful. When we take this stuff we call clay, it can be changed and transformed. So watch this space this summer and see how different things are reclaimed. So I think I begin with a huge word this morning, a biggie, Christian. Did you grow up singing, I am a C, I am a C-H? Come on, sing it with me. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. For I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-L-R-T and I-Y-L-I-V-E-E-T-R-N-A-L-L-Y. Maybe it's familiar to some, maybe not. But claiming Christianity is really important to me. It's who I am. My belief in Christ, my relationship with Jesus, it's at the core of who I am. Like Rachel Held Evans, the late author and blogger, said in a podcast, my Christianity feels like my gender. It's so much of who I am that I can't step outside of it. And I don't want to step outside of it, though I have become wary of this word, mainly because in our North American culture today, Christian feels like it refers to being anti-science, intolerant of inclusion, unwelcoming of refugees and others. The other day when we were driving, I asked my daughter Ella if she considers herself a Christian and why or why not. There was a long pause. And she had a really interesting response, a thoughtful one. She said, she easily identifies as a Mennonite, and so because of that, a Christian. But calling herself a Christian is uncomfortable, to the point of not wanting to, because it requires a lot of explanation. She's wary of it, too, for the same reasons I said a moment ago. In this country at this time, being a Christian often implies being narrow-minded and exclusive. And I want to shout, no! How do we reclaim this identity marker? Back in the 1950s, over 90% of Americans identified as Christians. And while church attendance may be dropping in this country, still just over 70% of Americans today consider themselves Christians, with non-Christian faiths accounting for less than 6% of Americans. So I wonder, what does it mean to be a Christian today? And what did it mean back in the early church? What does it mean to be a Christian? I've been remembering a painful conversation I had with one of my sisters about 20 years ago. She'd not been a part of any faith group since leaving our childhood home, and yet she said she was a Christian. I asked her what that meant. What does it mean to be a Christian if you don't ever read the Bible or go to church? She heard my questions as judgmental and condemning, and I think maybe they were. I'm somewhat ashamed of that attitude I might have presented that day long ago. It's taken a lot of time and conversation over the year to repair that part of our relationship. But still, I wonder, what does it mean to be a Christian? Should we just be happy that someone is willing to identify as Christian regardless? My sister's a good person. She's involved. She's active. She's trying to make this world a better place. Does it matter how we use this label? It's used in our country today politically in ways that feel very complex. This week, I was listening to a Radiolab podcast entitled The Good Samaritan. And Scotty, a former heroin addict from Kentucky, one who has been rescued multiple times by EMTs, talked about how he was changing his life. Scotty, in his heavy southern accent, said, I'm going to church now, and as soon as I get this ankle monitor off, I'm going to get saved. His understanding, Scotty's understanding of what it meant to be a Christian, was that until he was baptized through full immersion, and that wasn't going to happen until his ankle bracelet, a parole requirement, came off, that he wasn't fully in the Christian club. He didn't belong. so that even though the church and his belief in Christ has been integral to his healing, he wasn't a Christian yet. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? I often heard that when I was a chaplain, and I cringed, again, because it's a complex question. For many, a Christian is one who is defined as having been born again or saved, or so said various websites I visited this week. One clearly spells out that when a person becomes a Christian, you must say certain words. You must say something like, "Jesus, I confess you as my Lord." Boom. That's it. You've got to say the right words and make it personalized. Otherwise, you're not one of them. Well, in her introduction this morning, Esther read from theologian Friedrich Buechner, who said, and I want you to hear this again, what he said. Jesus didn't say that any particular ethic, doctrine, or religion was the way, the truth, and the life. He said that he was. He didn't say that it was by believing or doing anything in particular that you could come to the Father. He said it was only by him, by living, participating in, being caught up by the way of life that Jesus embodied. That was his way. It's by living, participating in, being caught up by the way of the life that Jesus embodied that we live the Christian life. Yes, that's what it means for me to be a Christian. I can claim that. But I want to go back to the passage from the book of Acts that we read this morning, because this is the first place that the followers of Jesus, the people of the way, are called Christians. The term Christian was first used to describe a new sort of people that had sprung up in this Greek city of Antioch. This term was used by non-Jews, for they couldn't quite figure out who these people were. This new group didn't fit into any of their pre-existing categories. They were neither exclusively Jew or Gentile, and so they had to invent a new name for them. The identifier Christian is never used in the New Testament by the followers of Jesus about themselves. No, they call themselves believers or disciples. And the word Christian only occurs in the Bible 3 times. Here in this text in Acts. Later in Acts, when King Agrippa exclaims, "You seem to think it's a very small matter to make me, a king, a Christian, one of those despised people." And it occurs once more in 1 Peter, where Peter says, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." Christian was not an easy term to be called back then. But this group in Antioch and the Gentile believers elsewhere are a novel element in the church. Outsiders, it's outsiders that call them Christians, Christ followers, just as they would have called Herod's followers Herodians in the political world, or Aristotle's followers Aristotelians in the philosophical world. These people had called them Christians because they put their finger on the fact that this one power that held this heterogeneous mass together, that bound Jew and Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bound and free into something vital, was that they had a personal and a communal relationship to the living Christ. So while being labeled a Christian in the early church was a negative term, and a term only used by outsiders, it often implied otherness and the possibility of persecution. So it makes me wonder, what was going on with those early believers, those disciples, those followers of the way, that they got this label, Christian. Let's come back and look at the beginning of this reading. If you look at it, it starts out, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen," the persecution that took place over Stephen, "they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Greeks also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus." So earlier in the book of Acts, there's this big wrestling of, at first it was only the Jews that received the message of Jesus the Messiah, but then the Gentiles were receiving the Holy Spirit, so how could they be denied full inclusion in this way of Christ? And now we read here of this new mission among the Gentiles, beginning in Syrian Antioch. An unexpected result of the scattering of believers that followed Stephen's death. This new congregation in Antioch seems to be growing at such a rate that they need more support. And who does Barnabas go to get help from? Saul. So that line, "those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen," this is a cue. That was Saul. Saul, who was helping to lead that persecution, that evil man who was hunting down those followers. Saul was the reason they had scattered, went running for their lives, headed to Antioch. It's this Saul who Barnabas goes and finds and brings to Antioch. I think that's pretty amazing. Can you imagine that? Welcoming this man you feared, maybe even hated, and welcoming him as a leader? Our reading says, "So it was for an entire year that they," meaning Saul and Barnabas, "met with the church and taught a great many people." They were guests of that church for an entire year. It's this group who earns the title Christian. These people, Jews and Greeks, living together, worshiping together, eating together, who are sharing the good news through word and deed, welcoming the one who brought them persecution, who brought persecution to those earliest followers, welcoming him as their teacher. These people who share their belongings, following Christ in seeing to the needs of the poor, the widow, the afflicted. These people who welcome both men and women as leaders, these are the Christians, the followers of Christ. I don't read in these words about needing to say certain words or performing specific acts to be a Christian. What was it that Frederick Buechner said? It is by living, participating in, being caught up by the way of life that Jesus embodied, that we live the Christian life. It's how we live into that final commandment of Jesus, that new commandment to love one another. That's what's showing we're living into the new life offered us as a follower of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. It brings to mind another song, "They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love." Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. Out of the cold ministry, which many of us take part in, a ministry here in Center County that provides shelter to persons without permanent homes, it's made up of 14 very diverse congregations working together to feed, provide safe lodging, and also to provide conversation and a recognition that each person is valuable and deserving of love. Out of the Cold isn't about defining beliefs. There's very little talk of theology. Instead, it's an amazing coming together of the local Christian community to show they will know we are Christians by our love. So how do we reclaim and restore this word? In preparing this series and in preparing for this Sunday, I had considered working with how we understand the Bible as part of looking at what it means to be Christian. But that got to be way too big and unwieldy, so that's going to come in a couple weeks. But I want to bring in something that Peter Enns, author, says in his book, The Bible Tells Me So. He said, "It's a bad move to invent a Jesus who agrees with us rather than challenges us. It's a bad move to invent a Jesus who agrees with us rather than challenges us. As Christians, we are to be continually challenged by Jesus' message. If we start to think we've got it all figured out, chances are we're missing the call of Christ. Those early followers of the way earned the title Christian because they were living a new way of life, welcoming men, women, Jew, Greek, to experience a Jesus who challenges the status quo, who calls us to find life through the commandment of loving one another. I wonder, can we be those unruly people deserving a new name today? Christians who don't behave the way many expect Christians in our corner of the world to act. Tien Tan. Tien Tan is a Vietnamese Mennonite who has worked for the UN. And he talks about the way of the open palm. He says the palm facing up is a non-threatening gesture, reminiscent of a pleading beggar. But it's also a reminder of God's open hands. Tien Tan has struggled with his work as he watched those in power who consider themselves Christian finding it easier to destroy than to build, to oppress than to be opening to listening. And he says, this is what I believe it means to be a Christian. He said, with open minds, we welcome people. With open hearts, we share their pain and suffering. And with open hands, we work to bring them peace. With open hands, we work to bring them peace. So we're challenged as we live the way of life that Jesus embodied to reclaim our title as Christians. It's a doing and a being that embodied life of Christ. We're called not to invent a Jesus who agrees with us, but to allow Jesus to challenge us to live the way of the open palm. So whatever we do, working on campaigns, praying for those in need, providing shelter for those without homes, I'd like us to take up that call that Esther encouraged us to think about this morning. What's one thing we can do to be people of peace this week, to open our homes, to both remain unsettled because Jesus was the great unsettler, to be living in both the doing and the being as Christ did? I wonder, as a Christian, can we be known as the ones who live the way of the open palm? May it be so. Amen.
I'll invite Lily and Annika up to help with the offering, and Rogers will lead us in a hymn that has not been listed in the bulletin.
Please remain seated, but turn to, in the Blue Book, Hymnal Worship Book, to 383, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending.
I'll close our offering in prayer. Generous God, you gave us life. Now we give our lives back to you. We present ourselves, our work and play, our joys and sorrows, our thoughts and deeds, our gifts and resources, to be used by you for the sake of all people everywhere. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If anyone has announcements, please go ahead and use the microphone. I believe the children will be having something special during the Sunday school hour. Yes? Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Fran?
We'll be sharing a wonderful chocolate cake that was left over from yesterday downstairs. So please be sure to come for coffee.
And when we're done with the announcements, we should sing happy birthday and see if there are other birthdays.
Elaine Mercer, Hannah Martin is going to be graduating from high school, and we have a hymnal and card for her downstairs for you to sign. They'll be here next week, too.
Okay, and Sue?
Well, it must be the year for decade birthdays. Doug will be celebrating his this Wednesday. I'll let you figure out which one it is. And it also will be on Thursday is our 38th anniversary. So.
Are there any other birthdays or milestones? Okay, let's sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you.
Kate will give our... I did not prepare a benediction. Can Kate give an impromptu benediction?
But first, please turn to
yes,
420,
sorry.
Heart with Loving Heart United in the blue book.
Well, Kate didn't prepare a benediction either, but that's okay. Why don't you stand as you turn to that? And as we reclaim this word of Christians this week, may you go in love. For love alone endures. May you go in peace, for it is the gift of God. And may you go with courage, for we cannot go where God is not. Amen.